Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, where you're invited to take control of the airwaves, talk about whatever is important to you. 603-283-6160 is the number if you would like to do that. Again, that number is 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And coming up, we're going to talk about freezing assets. Evidently, more than a million Tether belonging to one account or one wallet has been frozen by USDT, that's Tether, this cryptocurrency that is pegged somehow to the United States dollar. So they basically froze $1 million of someone's money. Also, Pakistan is freezing, I think you said thousands of accounts of people who have been buying and selling cryptocurrency. But before we get into any of that, the spy state apparatus of the United States has long been out of control, and libertarians have been talking about this since long before Edward Snowden came around and said, hey, you know what, the libertarians that have been talking about this massive dragnet, they were actually right. And that upset people for about 3 minutes, and then they got distracted, and they moved on to other things, and now Edward Snowden has to live his life in Russia as a, you know, seeking asylum.
Yeah, it's better than being in a prison cell in the United States.
So. It is. But that's just the NSA. It gets so much worse than that. I've got an article here about how evidently there was Anom, which was an encrypted phone company that marketed specifically to criminals to buy their phones, and it was secretly taken over by the FBI, who then used it to record every message sent by the phone's users. What surprises me about this, is that there was ever a need for an encrypted phone company. I wouldn't trust such a company. Like, hey, we're going to sell you an encrypted phone. Hey, I can just encrypt my phone myself and then not have to worry about the FBI owning the company.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to know how the takedown of this company happened to begin with, and that, you know, was it not just the FBI the entire time?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't think the article's going to get into it. But evidently, the truly global undercover operation had another secret. The phones also collected users' precise GPS location.
Like every phone.
Yes. And transferred that information to authorities. The news provides more clarity on the scope and capabilities of the back door managed by the FBI. So far, the operation, which was known as Trojan Shield in the United States, has led to hundreds of arrests worldwide and disrupted organized crime, with major drug traffickers now either arrested or on the run. One document is a set of thousands of pages of Anom messages sent by an alleged drug trafficker who was arrested during the operation. Next to many of the messages, which are sorted in a spreadsheet, is the alleged GPS location of the phone recorded when the message was sent. So it goes on for quite a while. I don't find a whole lot here worth actually talking about, but I do have a different story. I mean, it's shocking to me that there's an encrypted phone company to do that in the first place, and it's not surprising to me that the FBI has the legal authority, I guess, to just take over this company.
Yeah, so according to the Wikipedia story on Anom, the shutdown of a Canadian secure messaging company called Phantom Secure in March of 2018 left international criminals in need of an alternative system for secure communication. Around the same time, the San Diego FBI branch had been working with a person who had been developing a, quote, next-generation, unquote, encrypted device for use by criminal networks. The person was facing charges and cooperated with the FBI in exchange for a reduced sentence.
So the FBI didn't take over some company. The FBI just created the company.
The person offered to develop Anom and then distribute it to criminals through their existing networks. The first communications devices with Anom were offered by this informant to three former distributors of Phantom Secure in October of 2018. So it sounds like the FBI was in from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's even worse, I think, that the FBI can just launch a company like that. But it's not surprising. The FBI is out of control, and police are out of control, according to the electronic... What is the AFF stand for?
Electronic Freedom Foundation, or Frontier?
Yeah, that's where I got hung up as well. It doesn't matter. They're saying that the police have taken a page out of the NSA's playbook. With increasing frequency, law enforcement has been using unconstitutional, suspicionless digital dragnet searches in an attempt to identify unknown suspects in criminal cases.
It is Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Thank you. Whether these searches are for everyone who was near a building where a crime occurred.
Oh, these are the geocaching things?
Yes, which are obviously unconstitutional, but that's not stopping them from doing it. They're saying it doesn't count as unconstitutional because they're only retrieving non-identifying data about the individuals in the geographical location.
So they say.
They're instead just receiving some random number that's been assigned to this individual, and if they pinpoint him, they can get that person identified. That's what they're saying, but it's still illegal, right?
Well, it's illegal, but probably only if you call them on it. So if they do one of these geofencing, I think is the word, geofencing actions, and they get all this, you know, unconstitutionally, illegally gathered data, and then they use it to bring a charge against somebody, and that person takes a plea deal, then it was legal.
Whether these searches are for everyone who was near a building where a crime occurred, or who searched for a keyword like bomb, or who shares genetic data with a crime scene DNA sample, 2021 saw more and more of these searches and more attempts to push back and rein in unconstitutional law enforcement behavior. While dragnet searches were once thought to be just the province of the NSA, they are now easier than ever for domestic law enforcement to conduct as well. That's because Google and Apple and all of these other companies will just gladly turn that information over, even without a warrant.
Depending, but it probably has happened.
This is because the massive amounts of digital information we share, knowingly or not, with companies and third parties. This data, including information on where we've been, what we've searched for, and even our genetic makeup, is stored in vast databases of consumer-generated information, and law enforcement has ready access to it frequently without any legal process. All of this consumer data allows police to essentially pick a suspect out of thin air. The EFF has been challenging unconstitutional dragnet searches for years, and we're now seeing greater awareness and pushback from other organizations. Reverse location searches are these geofence warrants and location data brokers that they're talking about. And the article is going to clarify what all of these things are. Reverse location searches allow the police to identify every device in a given geographic area during a specific period of time, as well as track people's paths of travel. So they can find out all of the devices that were in an area at a certain time.
I mean, it's a useful technology if you're actually investigating a real crime with a real victim, like if you're trying to find somebody who killed another person or,
well, that's what police work used to mean. Now they just, you know, use the data that Google is getting on people, and that does the policing for them. Geographic areas can include cities.
I wouldn't care if all the police did was arrest arsonists, murderers, and rapists. I really wouldn't care.
I still would because I feel like this is a violation of my right to privacy, and I don't want my right to privacy to be violated. They can do their job without violating that, I think. Yeah. They just don't want to.
No, I get both sides of it. I really do. I mean, if this can actually take a violent person off the streets, I mean, it's hard to be opposed to that. But we know they're going to use it for drug dealers and other peaceful people who've never harmed another person in their lives. That's who this is primarily going to be used against, most likely.
Yeah, the previous article that we were discussing about the FBI creating this encryption, this encrypted phone, they didn't say anything about arresting murderers or assassins or hitmen or whatever. It was
all about drug dealers.
Yeah, it's all just part of the drug war.
Yeah.
Geographic areas can include city blocks full of people unconnected to the crime, including those living in private residences and driving on busy streets. Unlike ordinary searches for electronic records, which identify a suspect, account, or device, reverse location searches essentially work backward by scooping up the location data from every device in hopes of finding one that may be linked to the crime. The searches therefore allow the government to examine the data from hundreds or thousands of individuals entirely unconnected to any criminal activity and give law enforcement unlimited discretion to try to pinpoint suspect devices.
Of course, the really smart criminals will know about this technology and leave their phone home.
Or use one of those, the Faraday bags, I think they're called. There was a different one. I don't remember exactly what it was. I think they advertised briefly with the show.
They did, yeah.
And there are ways out there. Or, you know, in theory, you can just turn off your location tracking on your phone, but I'm not sure I would trust that. Yeah. But in theory, you should be able to do that. But I wouldn't trust it. What do you think? Are you opposed to these reverse location warrants? Well, they're not even warrants. They're just... The police are asking for the information and giving it. 603-283-6160. It's free time.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy. Says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, where you're invited to take control of the airwaves, talk about whatever is on your mind or whatever's important to you. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to weigh in. 603-283-6160. With you tonight is Ari and Ian, and we're talking about just police and FBI overreach. You were reading more about the the Anom incident, where the FBI created this this encrypted phone and distributed it to criminals or something like that. Evidently, the FBI didn't even... No Americans were arrested as a result of this.
According to, let's see here, a story from ABC in Australia, there was no U.S. arrest due to privacy laws that prevented law enforcement from collecting messages from domestic suspects. However, in Germany, there were dozens of arrests. In Australia, 224. Sweden, 155 people. Netherlands, about 50.
I'm happy that no Americans were arrested because of this deceit played by the FBI, but it also makes me wonder what the FBI got out of this. If they spent all of this time and money and energy creating this software to take down criminals, and they couldn't even actually do any police work in the United States with it. It could only be done overseas, where they don't have any jurisdiction, but... As you said, governments do favors for one another.
Yeah, so it may have been one of those things where they can't legally go after people in the United States with what they received from this, but they could still use the information, not legally use it, but, oh, here's a new suspect we should investigate. You know, they've got the text messages from everybody that downloaded or that purchased one of these Anom phones. So it likely resulted in several opened investigations that they didn't know about previously, those people being ostensibly be drug dealers. They found something like 40 tons of drugs in these other various
countries. Which seems like
countries.
A lot of drugs.
Yeah.
But it's just enforcement of the drug war and... It shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, the bulk of this is all drug-related stuff from what I can see here. So, no real victims involved.
No, of course not. So, in 2020, we also learned that several federal agencies, including DHS, the IRS, and the U.S. military, purchased access to location data and used it for law enforcement investigations and immigration enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
In 2021, we started to learn more about how this data is shared with state and local agencies as well. For example, data broker Veriset shared raw, individually identifiable GPS data with the Washington, D.C. local government, which provided the government with 6 months of regular updates about the locations of hundreds of thousands of people as they moved about their daily lives. And that's identifiable information.
Yeah, this is the stuff governments love. They love to know where you are and what you're doing and how much money you're spending.
Ostensibly, this data was meant to be used for COVID research.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
It doesn't, but it makes sense that they would use that as the excuse.
Sure.
Because, you know, that's what we said when they first started talking about all of this location monitoring stuff and scanning QR codes to, you know, location. What do they call it? Contact tracing?
Yeah.
Yeah, we said it was going to be abused by law enforcement to do things like enforce immigration and drug wars and...
We heard
like
about
that.
A guy that there's a guy that we know, a liberty activist up here in New Hampshire, who was driving, I think, near Massachusetts, but not in Massachusetts, and received an alert on his phone. And it's been a few months since I heard the story, so I don't remember exactly what it was regarding, but it was something about COVID, you know, come to the nearest testing center or what, you know, some sort of COVID propaganda. And he thought, what in the hell is doing this? And he went digging around in his phone and found that there was like an app that had been installed without his permission that was like the Massachusetts COVID tracking app.
Wow.
Yeah. He never told his phone that he approved of an install on something like that. And it was an Android device. So Google is just, you know, putting things on people's phones. I imagine iPhone users are getting the same thing. In fact, iPhone users have it built into the operating system, from what I understand.
Yeah, I think in Google, they activated something that you can go in and turn off that's owned by default. And it's designed to be used in contact tracing apps or something like that. Thankfully, New Hampshire didn't have one of these atrocious apps.
But it's only a matter of time before these governments start to mandate things. We just saw there's a headline today that New Orleans is the latest big city in the United States. Chicago just jumped on board. Of course, New York City and San Francisco have been doing it now for a few months with vaccine passport mandates. I guess New Orleans will allow you to go into things if you can prove you've had a negative test result. So it's not just vaccine passport, but they're, you know, that's what's coming, right? Like, they're going to mandate vaccine passports.
So they're like 6 months behind the science in New Orleans.
The science, you mean?
The actual science that informs people that they can still get and spread COVID-19 despite being vaccinated and despite being boosted, and that allowing vaccinated people to skip the testing requirement isn't doing any good other than giving them a license to spread COVID-19 with impunity.
Yeah, they don't care about spreading COVID-19. They care about giving people a government app on their phones that will then give them permission to go into places and do things. Because if you want to go into a restaurant or a bar or a gym or an indoor entertainment facility, concert hall, you name it, then you're going to need this government passport. And it seems like most of the major cities in the U.S. right now.
Oh, I didn't think about that. You can't just show your vaccination card or whatever. That's
probably an option.
Okay.
I don't know what all the details are.
Sure.
I suspect each city has a different or a slightly differing set of what is approved and what is not.
I remember, I think New York City had a vaccine passport app that you did
have to
submit your vaccine card to, and it would approve you, and someone sent a dinner menu from some restaurant, and it approved that. So it was a bit glitchy.
It's the government. Of course it's going to be glitchy.
Right. I wouldn't expect the government to actually create competent software or to hire competent programmers, because Google hired them first.
Right. So meanwhile, people are being, arrested in New York City at various different restaurants for just trying to, get a bite to eat without showing a passport.
That's right. We played a video from a dude, I don't know if we played it on the air, but it was some guy, as you pointed out, you can't just walk down the streets of New York City, and it's impossible to drive there with arms full of grocery bags. So most people just order out, or they go to these smaller local places that you mentioned. So a lot of these people in New York City, their only option to eat is to order out.
If they don't want to leave New York City, yeah, that's the best bet for them.
And they can't do that right now because of the vaccine requirement, assuming they're not vaccinated.
I guess in theory they could have the food delivered to their homes.
Yeah, but that's so much more expensive. So anyway,
New York City's not a cheap place to live.
No, so let's add the price of DoorDash or whatever on top of that, or Instacart or wherever. I wouldn't want to do it. So we also learned, we've been talking about the overreach of governments, obviously. We also learned that the Illinois Department of Transportation purchased access to geolocation data about over 40% of the state's population from Safegraph, a controversial data broker later banned from Google's App Store, for just $49,500. The Illinois Department of Transportation got access to 2 years' worth of raw location data for more than 40% of the state's population. The data set consisted of over 50 million pings per day from over 5 million users, each with precise latitude and longitude, a timestamp, a device stamp, and a device identifier. So governments are out of control, and all of this information, they have free access to it, apparently. They're not just having to get it from Google. There are companies that specialize in giving governments this data. And that scares the hell out of me. What about you? 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in on this. Coming up, we're going to talk about Bitcoin and frozen ass.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made in America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
This continues to be a pandemic of the unvaccinated. If you are vaccinated and boosted, you may get COVID, but you are highly protected against severe illness.
President Biden's comments at the White House on Tuesday. This has over 1 million people, both vaccinated and unvaccinated combined, tested positive for COVID-19 on Monday. Americans are quitting their jobs in record numbers. The Labor Department says 4.5 million people left their jobs in November, which is a new high. According to the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey, the accommodation and food service industry led the way with the largest number of quits, losses in health care, social assistance, transportation, and warehousing round out the top five. This is USA Radio News. The Remain in Mexico policy is back and running.
The Biden administration brought 36 migrants back to the United States for court hearings on Monday under the reimposed Remain in Mexico program and expanded its enforcement of that program into San Diego, California. Candidate Joe Biden from a year ago.
This is the first president in the history of the United States of America that anybody seeking asylum has to do it in another country. That's never happened before in America.
The Biden administration has asked the Supreme Court to intervene and allow them to end the program that blocks illegal immigration. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
The nation's airports still trying to dig out from an avalanche of flight delays and cancellations. So far today, there have been more than 3,500 flights that haven't taken off on time or at all. This comes as the East Coast was hammered by a winter snowstorm on Monday, and that's where today's trouble spots are located. More news at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and hopefully you're watching us on Odyssey, where we can't be censored, or at least where we won't be censored. They do have rules against pornography, but that doesn't pertain to what we do, so we're never going to be censored there. You can find our channel there at video.freetalklive.com. There we can actually say whatever we want. I mean, to be clear, we're going to say whatever we want anyway. Other than not violating FCC rules, we do say whatever we want. And YouTube is going to do what they're going to do. Facebook is going to do what they're going to do. And we're going to get suspended and banned from these places eventually. We've already been given a number of strikes over on YouTube. And it's inevitable. One day they're going to pull the plug on the channel. With Odyssey, you don't have to worry about whether or not we're going to be there from one day to the next. We're there every single day. Video.freetalklive.com if you want to watch us there. That's video. freetalklive.com. Now, there's an update. Ian, you have an update for us. Evan.
Yes, yes.
So yesterday we talked about Melania Trump and her...
Usually we don't talk about Melania Trump.
No, she's not... There's not much to say about her, really. But she had an NFT... many thousands NFTs, apparently, because it doesn't seem she quite comprehends what an NFT is, which is fine. I'm not 100% sure either, but I'm also not trying to sell one.
Mm-hmm.
She was trying to sell, from what we understand, something like 2,800 of these things.
And we wanted to sell an NFT, but we can't because of federal bail conditions that prohibit us from doing that. But
and we had the ultimate NFT.
Yeah. You and I had come. I think you'd come up with the idea of doing just a black and a white pixel, two different JPEGs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It It took a very long time to, you know, shrink the what is the word I'm looking for there? The plane down to just one by one pixel, right? That was by far the hardest part of this. And then I just had to save it, and it's like, voila, this is it. This is the source of all digital art right here.
On and off.
Yeah, you could therefore Zero own every one. Piece of artwork ever made because of these 2 pixels.
But it's the ultimate NFT because it's never going to be offered at all. So you can't get it.
That's true. Well, it was never made into an NFT.
By the time we get off bail conditions, the whole NFT craze is probably going to be done.
Yeah, probably. But if not, look forward to me selling those NFTs, because why not? If someone wants to give me money to sell them a pixel on the internet, yeah, I will take it.
The true owner of a black pixel.
At least that's a joke, right? Melania is trying to seriously sell people. I think they were watercolor paintings of her eyes or
yes,
something
yeah,
weird
as
like
we
that.
Reported last night, somebody made a watercolor painting of her eyes, and I believe it's the same artist that's doing the new thing that we're going to tell you about, and she sold these digital versions of that painting, which means that you can copy it unended amount of times, and it doesn't lose its original quality. So that's what.
But they didn't sell the original painting.
No.
That's correct?
No, not to my knowledge. And
which is probably actually unique.
Correct, yeah. And maybe they took some feedback, because they had like 2,000 or 2,800 or something of these things that they made available, these JPEGs that they were selling for roughly $150 worth of Solana, which is one of the top 10 cryptos, and I'm not really sure too much else about it. For whatever reason, they chose Solana for this particular platform. And so I'm guessing they got a little bit of critique. It doesn't look like they sold very many of the watercolor paintings, at least based on the analysis that we did on it last night.
I'm shocked, I tell you.
Yeah.
Shocked that they couldn't sell JPEGs of paintings of Melania Trump's eyeballs.
At $150 a pop.
Yeah.
So now they've decided to do it, I think, in a much more proper manner, because the whole idea behind the NFT, if you're into this, and I'm not, is that it's something collectible, something that's unique, something that, even though it's a JPEG on the internet, you can claim it's yours, and you have the NFT, as they call it, a non-fungible token, to prove that you are the owner of this particular JPEG, or this, for listeners that don't know what that is, it's a digital graphics file. Usually it's like a cartoon, but it could be anything that an artist created.
And the reason that I find this so silly is because I can just find that JPEG online, right-click, click Save As, and then I'm the owner of that JPEG just as much as this other person.
Yeah, and didn't some guy go and right-click all of the JPEGs that have ever been sold and then put them all on a torrent file, allegedly, that's something like 25 terabytes or something ridiculous like
that? I don't remember the
like
size of it, but it was enormous. And yeah, that he was making the same point that we're making, that, hey, all of this is just internet, like they call Bitcoin, you know, fictional internet money. But this NFT thing, it is just fictional internet nonsense.
Yeah, there's some
stay
real,
away from it.
Yeah, there's some real fakery going on with a lot of these NFTs. I think I learned about a technique called washing, where the person who's selling the NFT will falsely bid on their own NFT from different Ethereum accounts. And
oh, that goes on at just about every auction. I watched a video a few months ago about how this is going on in the classic games market, where ultimately, you find out that the people who are bidding are the ones who own the auction house or something like that.
Yeah, that's not good.
You see these headlines like, oh, the original Super Mario Brothers sold for $1.5 million, but you come to find out the dude bought it for himself, so no money actually exchanged hands.
Yeah, I guess the idea is to stir up controversy and interest and then get more
eyeballs.
It's
to make people think that's how much it's worth, so that the next time you sell it, they go, oh, yeah, I'll take it up for $1.5 million.
Yeah. Oh, I can get it for $700,000? Whoa, what a deal.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So now, according to the AFP report here, Ms. Trump is back at it, because her first NFT, quote-unquote, offering, which was, again, 2,800 of them, so not unique, that apparently only sold 1% of what they were offering, which is going to be a real strike, right? Like, you think you're the hot S. The president's wife, lots of people care about what you think, and then your NFT doesn't sell more than a few dozen copies?
Well, the kind of person who cares what she thinks probably doesn't know what an NFT is, much less how to buy one.
I don't know. There's a bunch of, like, Trump-tard kids out there, right? Like, young guys who love Trump on the internet. Surely some of them are into his wife.
Maybe. I don't know. When I think about the younger people who love Trump, it's usually like, ironically. Like, they don't really mean it. They're doing it to troll people.
Maybe.
But those are the people I know in New Hampshire, right?
Yeah, I'm going with what, you know, like the chatters say on the Free Talk Live chat server. Some of them seem to be genuine Trump fans, and they're technical enough to know how to use, you know, a chat server. So if you can get in the Free Talk Live matrix, you can probably buy an NFT.
Probably.
I mean, because the crypto industry has made NFT buying as easy as they possibly could, right? Like this.
Yes,
this
but it's still extremely difficult to use Bitcoin to purchase anything. But this NFT thing, we're going to make this as easy as possible.
Yeah, they want it to be easy because they know it's a craze and people want to get into it. So they've made it pretty simple, from what I understand. Like I said, I've never tried it myself. But the story from France 24 AFP reporting that Melania Trump has now announced, as of today, that she's going to be auctioning off a famed white hat that she wore in 2018 with accompanying physical and digitized NFT drawings. So in this case, the auction will be held. It's called the Head of State Collection because she wore it when visiting, I guess, French President Emmanuel Macron and his wife. So if you care about these sorts of things, you could be the singular owner of not only the original hat worn by Melania Trump, but also a watercolor picture of her wearing the hat and a digital scanned version of the watercolor drawing of her wearing the hat. If you are the winner of this auction, which bidding will begin at 1,416 Solana, which as of now is roughly $250,000 worth.
See, this I could almost be on board with because you do get the unique hat.
Yep.
There's only one of these, presumably, that she actually bought and wore.
Apparently she had it custom made.
So there's, yeah, and there's only one of these watercolor paintings, and as long as she doesn't put the graphic online, there's only one digital copy of this, and she has access to it and can sell it to whoever she wants.
Well, the graphic is online. I can see it here.
Yes, it is.
The preview on her website, MelaniaTrump.com.
So the digital representation, the actual NFT, is already not unique. So she's basically auctioning off a hat and a drawing of her wearing the hat.
But at least, you know, again, maybe they took some critique for their first NFT effort, which was pretty laughable. And at least they're offering something unique here in this particular case.
I don't think I even know anyone who's bought an NFT. What about you out there?
Maybe they're just not telling you.
That's true. Do you know someone who has bought an NFT, or maybe you purchased one yourself? 603-283-6160. I won't rip you apart. I'm just curious.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's a fact. The best time to prepare for bad times is during good times. When you know a big storm is coming, you prepare in advance. Same goes for our future. Things seem calm right now, so it's the perfect time to prepare for the next big crisis or disaster. That's why you should stock up on emergency food from MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's largest preparedness company, with millions of happy, well-prepared customers. Our food kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They're an insurance policy you can eat. When you need it, it'll be there. Shop dozens of food storage kits now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Our kits give you an abundance of food, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Every family member in America needs one of these kits. So go to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Do it before the peanut butter hits the fan again. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy.
GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets. 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Here we've been telling you about how Intercoin can help any business or organization raise money using their own token, and now they've launched their investor token on an exchange. You can find it at xmarkets.com. That's exmarkets.com, where you can sign up with just an email address, which means you can actually keep your privacy intact. Now, because of that, they don't allow deposits of fiat currencies, but you can send in Bitcoin or some other cryptocurrency, trade it for Tether, which is what we're probably going to talk about later. It's a bit risky because Tether can and will simply freeze your account if they feel like it. But you can then buy ITR, the Intercoin Investor Token. Learn more about the Intercoin vision at intercoin.org. That's intercoin.org. Or get some Intercoin for yourself at exmarkets.com. That's exmarkets.com. And you just might be advancing the cause of liberty around the world. We have El Conejo, who is on the line from Nebraska. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. I was calling in about Monero. You were talking about Monero the other night and other cryptos.
Yep.
I just wanted to clear up a couple of things about it.
Sure.
I believe you can audit the full supply, but that's about it. I could be wrong on that point, but and more importantly, I think Ewan mentioned that it's inflationary, but it basically always produces new coins.
It also destroys existing coins, right? Like, if I understand it correctly, when you send Monero from one address to another, it destroys the Monero in the sending wallet and creates it in the receiving wallet.
The mechanism by which it's private is different than what I'm talking about. It's the total supply. There's only going to ever be 17 million Monero, I believe.
No, there's no limit on the Monero supply. But you were correct about the first thing you said, which was that you can apparently get the total supply at the moment.
Okay.
And according to CoinGecko, it is over 18 million Monero at this time.
Oh, 18 million. There are 18 million Monero that are basically going to be mined, but
they've already been mined.
Done, well, they're almost finished being mined. I think there's like 10% left at this point or something like that.
But you said the market cap is 18 million, and Ian just read you off from, I think he said CoinGecko, where it's already past 18 million.
That's correct.
18 million Monero?
Yeah. Correct, yeah. But again,
well,
I mean,
with the exact...
Monero has no market cap. That's one of the only flaws that I can think of regarding Monero, is that it, unlike Bitcoin, which does have a market cap of 21 million, Monero actually does not have one.
Yeah, the supply limit is unlimited. Unlimited, excuse me.
There's also a lot of background noise going on there. Thank you so much for the call tonight, El Conejo. I'll never say no to an opportunity to talk about Monero, but it's just not perfect, and it's the unlimited supply cap that sort of bothers me about it.
Maybe what he said, he kept saying he was going to get to something, and maybe what he was going to get to is that apparently there is an annual supply cap. Once the total supply reaches 18.2 million coins, which it's close to, it's not quite there yet, the annual supply cap will then be approximately 158,000 coins per year. So at least you know okay. what the supposed rate is. But again, there's no maximum cap as far as, you know, if it goes for another 100 years, there's going to be another 158,000 coins a year coming out every year.
And, I mean, I can deal with that.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's a predictable amount of inflation, so it can be handled and all of that.
Right.
I mean, we like to think that gold, for example, cannot be infinitely inflated, but that's really not true either because, I mean, for all we know, the universe is infinite and there's therefore an infinite amount of gold out there.
Well, the old theory is that at some point an asteroid full of gold is going to land on, you know, the planet, and that's going to drop the gold price dramatically.
It's not impossible. Mm-hmm. I think I don't expect an asteroid made out of gold to hit the planet, but... it's not impossible that we'll find a universe full of gold out there.
Or that somebody strikes, you know, a huge cache of gold that has never been found before. That's a possibility, too.
That is a possibility. But I will say that I think the asteroid thing is silly. First of all, I've never heard of an asteroid being made out of solid gold, but...
could happen.
If we got to the point where people were, like, mining asteroids for gold, I really don't think the value of gold is going to matter much to the individual.
Maybe.
Because by then we're at a technological point where you could basically probably have whatever you wanted whenever you wanted it. Hmm. So what would the value of gold matter in that case?
Who knows?
I don't know. The future's fun to think about, but mining asteroids made out of gold, that's far in the future. And sure, it could happen. But so, in that sense, I don't mind Monero not having a market cap. It seems like a conscious... it was obviously a deliberate design choice. I just don't understand the reason for it.
I don't know. I mean, it's 100-something thousand coins a year or 150,000 coins a year isn't exactly a whole lot.
It's not.
No.
Well, no, not compared to the 18 million or whatever
right.
they set. So, we've been talking about millennium...
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, go ahead.
You've got to reward the miners to keep mining, and so understandably that would keep people mining the coin more than just getting the transaction fees. Because once the transaction fees go away on the... or rather, once the mining rewards go away on the Bitcoin network, then it's only the transaction fees that the miners will get. So it keeps the deal a little sweeter for the miners,
I think. That's why I expect a hard fork when it gets to that point where the Bitcoin... yeah, where the Bitcoin miners agree that, hey, we want to keep getting some sort of mining reward here, so we're going to increase the market cap of Bitcoin to 24 million or whatever. So whether or not Bitcoin truly has a supply cap remains to be seen. We won't really know until we hit that point, and I suspect before we do, the miners will... because right now, I mean, the transaction fees that they would have to charge to be compensated or to feel compensated for that block reward, it would make Bitcoin completely unusable to the average person. And the idea is that, you know, as the supply of Bitcoin increases, the mining reward decreases, but that just causes fewer and fewer people to want to mine Bitcoin, which means transactions are going to take longer to complete.
Well, the presumption is the price of Bitcoin will go up over time. So therefore, for instance, getting 6.25 Bitcoins today every block, which is the current reward plus the fees, you know, at not quite 50,000 per coin, you know, 6 Bitcoins, that ain't too shabby, right?
It's not.
That's better than 50 Bitcoins, which was the original mining reward back in the day when it was worth next to nothing. Of course, had you gotten 50 Bitcoins and held on to it every time you found a block, you would be very, very wealthy today.
That's true. So maybe they will continue confirming transactions. I just don't know if it'll be... because as you
pointed out, Bitcoin's going to get topped by something someday. Something's going to come out, and it's going to be the Bitcoin killer. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know when it's going to happen. But Bitcoin's old tech. It's only holding on because of its, you know, it's been there for a long time. It was the first. And
well, they do keep updating it, so I don't know how old it really is. And
yeah, but it's dying faster.
That's true.
They're not gonna update it seriously because the Bitcoin programmers are all about not touching the fundamentals of Bitcoin. They've never done a hard fork, as they call it, with Bitcoin. They've never forced people to upgrade to the new version of Bitcoin. So all of their upgrades have been what they call soft forks, just changes to the software that are not required to continue using Bitcoin. And they don't want to do a hard fork, which is why they never increased the block size back during the block size debates in 2017 that created Bitcoin Cash.
I've never thought about it in that context, but that, yes, that makes sense. That's why some wallets, you can use a SegWit address or a non-SegWit address, and they're completely different. You can tell one or the other by just looking at it, whether you can be reasonably sure whether or not it's a SegWit address or a non-SegWit address. And I don't even know
whatever
what all
that means.
Yeah. I just know that SegWit was the thing they implemented at the time. The Bitcoin Cash supporters were against that. It was like, this is stupid. Just increase the block size.
It seemed to be stupid. It did absolutely nothing to reduce the Bitcoin fees.
I think what it did was it took away something that was otherwise built into the blocks.
Yeah, it did something.
Yeah, it decreased them by...
It's not even worth really talking about it, because who cares?
And then Bitcoin Cash was sort of like, no, just increase the block size, and that made perfect sense. Yeah. And that's why Bitcoin Cash remains a lot faster.
Well, I wouldn't call Bitcoin Cash faster. It's got the same block time as Bitcoin, which is roughly every 10 minutes. But, yeah, sometimes Bitcoin Cash, and sometimes Bitcoin goes slower than 10 minutes, sometimes faster. Sometimes it's like you can find 3 blocks in 10 minutes. Sometimes it's 1 block in 30 minutes. So it depends on the mining, the hash rates, and it gets really complicated. But the miners basically will go wherever is the most profitable. So if they're not like the miners aren't allied to one side of Bitcoin or another for the most part. If Bitcoin Cash becomes more profitable, they'll switch gears and they'll go over to Bitcoin Cash until the original Bitcoin becomes more profitable, and they'll switch back over there. So
my experience about Bitcoin versus Bitcoin Cash is almost a year out of date at this point as well, so I have no idea what the transaction fees are doing. Maybe you out there
listening. I only know because I saw somebody do it recently on Bitcoin Cash, and they had to wait 40 minutes for a confirmation.
That's rough. But it was still 0.001 BTH
was
the fee, right?
It was cheap.
603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in on cryptocurrency. We're going to talk about how Tether is freezing people's assets. It's
first, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.